So today I want to talk about the parable of the barren tree. This is a parable that Jesus Christ taught in the book of Luke chapter 16. It's only four verses, but it is power-packed. Now, I don't remember ever reading this passage until about a week or two ago. And when I read it, it was so profound. And basically, what this parable is telling a story is that God has a plan, God has a purpose for you, number one. And that God's purpose is encapsulated in a plan. And the plan has to be executed in a particular place. And we'll show you the scriptures. Right? And that the plan has to be executed in a particular place because God has planted you in that particular place. And then from that place, we understand some of the laws that determine or govern how you are going to be productive. And then from productivity, you will be profitable and then you will be prosperous. So it's a story, right? So first of all, we start with the principle of the purpose. Go with me to Luke chapter 13. And please, I like King James, but read it in other translations. Four verses of scripture, but it's power packed. So in Luke chapter 13, from this, the parable of the barren fig tree, that's in my Bible. Jesus spoke this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and sought fruit thereon and found none. Then he said unto the dresser of his vineyard, behold, these 3 years I have come seeking fruit on this fig tree and find none. Cut it down. Why cumbereth it to the ground? And he answering said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I shall dig about it and dung it. And if it bear fruit, well, if not, then after thou shalt cut it down. Hallelujah. Now let me see if I can read this in the Passion Translation. The Lord Jesus told them this parable. There was a man who planted a fig tree in his orchard. But when he came to gather fruit from his tree, he found none. For it was barren and had no fruit. Then he said to his gardener, for the last 3 years I've come to gather figs from my tree, but it remains fruitless. What a waste. Go ahead and cut it down. But the gardener said, sir, we should leave it one more year. Let me fertilize it and cultivate it. Then let's see if it will produce fruit. If it doesn't bear fruit by next year, we will cut it down. Hallelujah. So let me start by saying, God has a purpose for you and I. And that purpose that God has is encapsulated in a plan. The plan must be executed in a place. Think about it. You are not born just in any country in the world. You were born in a particular nation, in a particular generation, in a particular family. Right? And we will look at the scriptures. And so God plants you. In fact, in other translations, it says he planted you as an orchard in his front yard. Right? And then when he plants you for you to work, collaborate with him, the law of process tells us that time enables a seed to become a tree and a tree to become a plantation. So the law of process is in place. And the law of process also suggests that you are a seed, but you can become a tree. In other words, God gives you the opportunity to unleash your potential. Hallelujah. Because it takes a while for a seed to become a tree. And sometimes the seed does not look like the tree. And think about it. I have a big watermelon in my house. Inside is red. The seed is brown. Think about that. If you look at the brown seed, right, and you think it's good, watermelon is going to be brown, you missed it. Right? And so the potential also means that God prepares you for when he will come to you and get his fruit. Because number one, he owns the orchard. And then productivity and profitability leads to prosperity. Right? Let's look at the scriptures. So God the Father, according to this story, he planted the orchard, right? And the Bible tells us that God owns everything. Scripture says in Psalm 24, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Everything in it, including you and I. So he's the planter. Think also of God as an investor who invested in you on earth. And he has an expectation for a return. Hallelujah. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God invested Jesus, took a risk, because he believed that when Jesus is sown as a seed, Jesus will enable many, many, many brethren in his family to come back to God. Hallelujah. So in Luke chapter 1, God is the Father, he's the planter, he's the owner of the foundation. In fact, the Message translation in Psalm 24 says that God claims the earth and everything in it. God claims the world and all who live in it. He built on the ocean foundations. He laid out the river girders. So God planted you because he has a purpose for you. Hallelujah. And until we understand why God placed us here, purpose, we may grope in the dark. Hallelujah. I pray that God would open our eyes and our minds so that you and I will understand why we were planted here. Not only here in terms of location, but why were you even born in the generation that you were born? Isaiah will tell you that God knows everybody who will be born in every generation. Hallelujah. So God the Father always has a purpose. Exodus 3:1, to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under heaven. See, God is a thinker. God is a strategist. God is an effective manager. Everything he does, according to the scriptures, has a purpose, including designing, fabricating, and creating you. Hallelujah. 2 Timothy 1:9, God who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. So God's purpose for you preceded his act of creation. Think about it. Does it blow your mind? That before he created the heavens and the earth, he had a purpose for you. Revelation chapter 4, verse 11. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Purpose. So God created you and I for pleasure. He planted us in his orchard. So when the time comes for him to get some fruit from the orchard and the fruit is not, the tree is not bearing fruit, then there is a problem. Hallelujah. We will get there. But let's go to the plan. God always also has a plan. He told Jeremiah, Jeremiah prophesied, for I know the plans that I have for you. Right? Declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. You see, the plan is the blueprint. In management, we define planning as the identification and selection of appropriate goals and courses of action. A goal is a desirable future outcome. So if I want to say, okay, I want to graduate in 4 years, I have to go to college. I want to get married. That's a goal. So everything that God has a purpose for, it's attached to a plan. The purpose is the reason why you were made. The plan is the blueprint for executing or unraveling the purpose. Let's not get confused. Hallelujah. And so even though he has a purpose for you, without the plan, it's impossible to execute that purpose. That's why you need to have a plan. Going back to 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9. Think about it. Say, God has saved us. He's also called us. Not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. John chapter 1 verse 1. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. And the Word was God. So Jesus was with God when God was formulating your purpose and your plan. In anticipation that when you become born again, when you come into Jesus, you will go back to Jesus by the Spirit and download God's plan for you. Hallelujah. Because the plan was kept in Jesus. And now that you are connected with Jesus, God has a way of unfolding the plan to you. That is why in the Old Testament, when Jesus was not in the Old Testament, he was in the Old Testament, but God used the prophets to communicate his plan to the nation of Israel. As soon as Jesus came, died, and resurrected, he started communicating his plan to the apostles and the prophets through the church. Hallelujah. So the church should be able to give you insight with regard to the plan that God has for you through the teachings of the word. Hallelujah. And many people, even though they know their purpose, the problem becomes the identification of the plan. Hallelujah. And they miss the plan. Hallelujah. Now, the plan of God is also specifically related to a place that the plan must be executed. Hallelujah. Why am I saying that? Peter and Paul were both apostles. But it was well known that God called Paul to the Gentiles and Peter primarily to the Jews. Hallelujah. So even though they were apostles, they had different, entirely different ministries and responsibilities. Hallelujah. There's a story in the Bible about the prophet Elijah. I don't know whether it's Elisha or Elijah, one of them. James in 5 chapter 17 talks about this prophet. So, you know what? Anytime you see an Old Testament reference in the New Testament, go back to the Old Testament and read the account. Because it makes it relevant as a principle in the New Testament. So James talks about Elisha in Book of James 5:7. You know what he did? Because God called the prophet and also told him to go to a place. Right? Let me read for you. In 1 Kings chapter 17, the Bible says 2-4. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, get thee hence and turn eastward. You think God doesn't have GPS? He has GPS. And hide thyself by the brook Cherit. That is before Jordan. You see, if he created Israel and Jordan, he knows the territory. He knows the terrain. He knows the environment. He knows the geography. So God instructs Elisha to go to a particular place near the brook. A brook is a flowing stream. And told him, it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. Hallelujah. So the plan for Elisha was to go to a place, a particular location. So what am I saying? God's purpose and plan for you is reserved in a place called there. Many people follow money, and so they relocate to different cities and different towns, not being led by the Spirit to go where God wants them to go. Hallelujah. In 1996, my wife and I moved from Queens, Forest Hills, to the Poconos. So I've been living here for how many years? 28 years now? 27. Wow, I'm old enough to become the mayor. Right? Right? But the same God can ask you to relocate. Right? Because where God sends you is God's provision for you. And that's where God wants you to thrive and flourish, because he told you to go there. So we came and lived in the Poconos. And I'm still here. Not knowing that God had prepared Pastor Clinton and Pastor Sarah. I had never heard about Pastor Clinton and Pastor Sarah until I moved here. And even when I moved here, I was at another church. And in retrospect, so think about it. When you are doing analysis, you can do a retrospective analysis and you can do a prospective analysis, right? In the Bible, we call it hindsight, insight, and foresight. Joseph looked back into his life, hindsight, 20 years when he was a kid, and saw the hand of God in his life. When Joseph stood before Pharaoh and told Pharaoh that 7 years they were going to be farming, 7 years they're going to be abundance, that was foresight. Insight is what you do today in order to leverage hindsight and to execute foresight. Hallelujah. Only God can give you insight and foresight and hindsight concerning your life. Hallelujah. People wonder, how did Moses write the Bible when he wasn't there? Hindsight, foresight, insight. God gave him a revelation. Hallelujah. So you look back to your life, right? And you begin to decode God's spiritual hindsight, God's spiritual insight, and God's spiritual foresight. Let me add a fourth one. Oversight. You know what oversight means? Read the Bible. Right? There was this guy, one of the bakers. The two people that Joseph met in the jail, the baker and what is the guy? He died wine or something? The baker and the butler. And Joseph thought that the baker, one of them, I forgot which one. The baker was killed, right? And the butler was preserved. Joseph supposed that the butler was going to become the instrument God was going to use to bring him salvation out of jail card. But the Bible says the butler forgot. 2 years. Until the Pharaoh dreamed, until the king dreamed. And then he remembered his oversight. Oversight is when you look back and figure out the mistakes you made in not marrying this lady or not taking this job. Oversight. Managers make a lot of mistakes. Oversight. They didn't take it serious. Hallelujah. So let me go on. God has a purpose and a plan reserved in the place called there. That's where your provision is, right? So God's provision is part of the plan and the purpose in the place which may change. So God told Elijah, go to the brook and I have commanded the ravens to feed you. And we are learning from scholars that ravens by nature as a bird don't give away food. Right? I mean, I'm not into birdology or whatever it's called. I'm not a birdologist, right? But ravens are here, instead of giving you, they want to take it to themselves. They are very aggressive. So for the ravens to feed Elijah at God's command is a miracle. So Elijah's provision was a miracle from God. And he could only be fed when he went to that brook called the Brook of Cherith, before Jordan. So what are we saying? God's provision for you may be in this church. So rise up and leverage all that God has provisioned for you in order to execute his plan and his purpose. Acts chapter 17, verse 24. Paul is in Philippi and he's going through the city and he's sitting that these people are godless and there are so many gods. And he goes to speak to some philosophers, right? In Athens. And Paul said, Acts chapter 17, 24, he said, look, read it in the newer translations because it's amazing. He says, the God that made the world and all things, seeing that he's Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is he worshipped with men's hands, though he needed anything, seeing he gives to life all breath and all things, and had made of one blood. I hear for a long time, doctors wondered why you could give a black man's blood to a white man. Did you know that? They didn't know. But it is medically, it's a medical science. that regardless of your race or ethnicity, we all have the same blood. This was, Paul had revealed this before medical science became medical science. God, look at it, has made of one nation, or nations of men. Other translations say different nationalities. But that's not what blows me away. He says, to dwell on the face of the earth, and has determined the times before appointed, and the bounds of their habitation. Bounds is the word boundaries. So in other words, God knows everybody, where you will be born, whether in Romania or Czechoslovakia or Canada, and not only where, the geography. God also knows the generation, the history in which you'll be born, and the family. That scares me. Hallelujah. So what am I saying? God's provision is part of the plan and the purpose in the place that God wants you to thrive. That's why some people go so many different places. They wouldn't excel. Because that's not where God wants you to thrive. You have to find out God's plan for you and your purpose and where God thrived you. You know, in the beginning, God created Adam and Eve and put them in Eden. You know the meaning of Eden? In his presence. Hallelujah. So God had determined the times before appointed. Before you were born, God had determined. Read Matthew. Read Matthew's account of the genealogy of Christ. And read Luke. Right? Matthew traces Jesus to related to David and Abraham. And it's interesting. He sums it up by saying, okay, so from Jesus, no, from Abraham to David is 14 generations. From David to the carrying away into Babylon, 14 generations. And then from the carrying away into Babylon to Jesus is 14 generations. 14 times 3. Then Luke traces Jesus' genealogy to Adam. God is very precise. That's why the Bible says, at the time, what does the Bible say concerning time? He said, when the right time came, when the fullness of time came, God sent Jesus. Jesus was never late in his generation because of God's plan. Hallelujah. Now, this is the essence of our parable today, right? In other words, God has planted you as a tree, according to the scriptures, in his front yard. Oh, talk about visibility. Right? Some of the translations say in his vineyard. Right? God has planted you. And the purpose for which God planted you was that you will bear fruit. And that he will come and pluck the fruit and enjoy the fruit. God wants to enjoy. We saw the scripture in Revelation that you were created for his pleasure. Right? But remember, the Bible says after God planted the tree, he came back 3 years. Did you see that? And there was no fruit. Lord, have mercy. There was no fruit. And God said, let's cut it down. And Jesus, the gardener, said, remember how the Bible says Jesus is the intercessor, the mediator between God and man. And Jesus, the gardener, said, I will cultivate it and I will fertilize it. Let's give it another year. If another year they are not producing, then we will cut it down. This is talking about evaluation. How many of you work in a place where you are evaluated every year? right? We used to be evaluated. In other words, when I was at Penn State years ago, you know, they would look at your, at the end of the year, okay, Dr. Shen, this year you went to this conference, your teachings are good, you know, you could do well here, okay, all overall is good, and we give you 3% annual increase. They usually give between 3 to 5. If you don't do anything, sometimes they give you 1. If they give you 1, it means you didn't do nothing. They are just being be nice with you. Right? But if you do very well, sometimes you can get 4%, 4.5%, 5% annual increase. God also will come and evaluate you. Right? He wants to see whether time enabled you to be productive. Because the law of process says that time should be given for the seed to become a tree. Because God is raining the water every day. He's raining the sunshine every day. He's giving you wind every day. You are consuming freely, but you are not producing. And God is upset. And he wants to cut the tree down, and Jesus is mediating for you. So let's give him another chance. So God's planting is his act. So wherever you are, God planted you there. And the Bible says he planted you in his front yard. So God wants us to bear fruit. And you can go back to John chapter 15. Remember, Jesus said, I am the vine and you are the branches. Any branch that abides in me, he bears more fruit. And Jesus is responsible for pruning you, you know, for taking care of you so that you can even be more productive. So 3 things here. Productivity, the produce in a particular place. Now, you know, even with trees and seeds, they don't grow everywhere, right? Geography determines how much a seed or a plant can flourish. Hallelujah. In other words, climate conditions can determine what seed can grow and flourish everywhere. Hallelujah. The other day, I was driving Minister Susie to the Healy High Valley Clinic that she had the surgery. And I saw this big warehouse, Chiquita Banana. Anybody knows Chiquita Banana? Chiquita is a place. I think that whole country is full of banana. So you go to Home Depot. No, Home Depot. ShopRite. You go to ShopRite. You go to Walmart. You go everywhere, there's Chiquita Banana. You see their label? It's like, of all the plants in the world, Chiquita's soil is the best for banana. That's me. It's not an analysis, Miss Audrey. What I'm trying to say is that seeds do not thrive or flourish everywhere. But there's a place that God wants you to flourish because that's where all the climate conditions are the most favorable to you. And so if you do not produce or bear fruit, then you, God is saying, you know, in the Passion Translation says, God came and said, what a waste when he didn't find the seed. What a waste. When I saw it, it scared me. God is saying, what a waste. And you know how Jesus fed the 5,000 and Jesus said, gather the crumbs. God does not like waste. Hallelujah. And sometimes I'm throwing food away in my house. And I'm grieving because I know some people can have not had 2 square meals a day. And we are so full. Look at my pot belly. I'm the first. Right? But God doesn't want waste. Even things like electricity and water. It's a resource that needs to be maximized. So God's purpose in planting you in a place is for you to produce. This is what we have to get. And so when the church is appealing to us to come and help, you know what? That is what they are trying to come and help. To do VBS. Right? To basically get this place. This God is calling us to bear fruit. Because at some point, you and I have to be useful to God, to our community, to our families. Hallelujah. So God's purpose is to profit from his investment. Right? So the production of the fruit-bearing process takes time. In our case here in the parable, it's 3 years, right? Luke chapter 13, verse 7. The law of process also tells us that God has an expectation for you and I. Because he gave you a purpose and a plan and a place and he planted you, he also has an expectation of you. Right? Ecclesiastes says this, a time to be born and a time to die. Beginning and end. A time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted. So when God shows up and asks to get a pluck up a fruit from the tree that he planted, that he owned, it's based on his routine expectation. Because he planted the seed. Now, in Mark chapter 11, verse 22, you know Brother Higgins, one of Brother Higgins' favorite scriptures, right? Where he said, you shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be cast into the sea. If you read the entire chapter, Jesus saw the fig tree and it appeared as if it was fruitful. He went there and it was barren. There was no fruit. So, Lord have mercy. So it means a lot of us may be in deception. We appear to be bearing fruit, but from God's personal evaluation, we are not bearing fruit. And read the Bible. Jesus cursed that fig tree. He spoke to it and said, because I was ready to pluck the fruit and you didn't give me anything, no, you will not bear fruit anymore. And the next day, according to the scriptures, he was going by and Peter saw that the tree had shriveled to its roots. And Peter was surprised that within a short time, the tree had withered. And then he said, Master, the tree you spoke to yesterday is withered. And that is when Jesus took the opportunity to teach Peter and co. about the principles of faith, that you can speak to something, and if you don't doubt and believe that what you say will come to pass, it will come to pass. That is faith. But Jesus cursed that tree because it didn't produce. Loving Jesus, he loves you unconditionally, you and I. Right? He loves us. He would do anything for us. He died for us. But when he came to that tree that didn't bear fruit, that barren tree, Jesus cursed it. That is another side of Jesus. And he taught this parable, Luke chapter 13. Hallelujah. Ecclesiastes 3, 1, 2. To everything there is a season. So in other words, regardless of the seed or the tree you are, your season will come when you have to blossom. Oh, Lord, have mercy. You see, God is not making unreasonable demands on you and I that I plant you today and the next day I want the fruit. No. In this case, 3 years. Right? In our system here, we depend on corn, right? You know, corn is so many things, right? If you plant corn 3 months, it should mature. Am I right? Those of us farmers. So to everything, there is a season and the purpose. So God's purpose for you is also integrated with God's season for you to flourish. Hebrews 5:12. And this is where time, 3 years or whatever it is, enables God's process to unfold. Hebrews 5:12. For by this time you ought to be teachers, you are still students. This is what Paul wrote to the Hebrews. Remember? They had God's oracles first. And God was using them as a model to teach other nations. But Paul wrote to them and said, at the time you ought to be teachers, you are still students. They didn't make a productive use of God's time for them. And Paul told the Corinthians, I gave you milk and not solid food because you are not ready. A baby who is 14 years still sucking the mother's breast. Paul said, you are not ready. In fact, you are still not ready. And so Paul couldn't give them the deeper revelations of Christ for the Corinthians because they were immature. They didn't enable time for them to grow, not only to become fruit bearers, but also to mature. If you don't mature, God is not able to give you deeper revelations of his word. Because you haven't done justice with the milk that he's giving you. Why will he give you the honey, the deeper things? Hallelujah. So God's purpose is for him to profit in his investment. His investment is you. He put the Holy Spirit in you. Hallelujah. Finally, when you know God's purpose for you, when you know God's plan for you, and when you know the place where God's purpose and plan must be executed, and you know you have been planted in God's front porch, and that God wants you to bear fruit, and that you should produce, and that your productivity should bring pleasure to God, and when you know that, that God wants you to be useful, profitable, not only to him, ultimately to him, but to your family, to your community, to even your work people. Finally, then you become prosperous. Prosperity, I define as the liberty and the opportunity to flourish wherever God has placed you. So we read in Psalm 1 that the company you keep is important to your prosperity, right? He said, blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. Don't hang out with people who are ungodly. And it's only hanging out with them. You are taking the advice. He says, don't sit in the seat of the scornful. You know the scornful people who sometimes they insult God, right? They make utterances that tells you that they don't believe in God. They are skeptics. He said, don't walk in the counsel of the ungodly, nor sit in the seat of the scornful, nor stand in the way of sinners. Psalm 1. But his delight is the word of the Lord, and he meditates on it day and night. He shall be like a tree. Oh, Lord. Have you read Psalm 1? So this is the tree that Luke is talking about. You are the tree. You shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. The rivers are the Holy Spirit. And it goes on to say, you will bring forth fruit in your season. Read Psalm 1. Read it in other areas. The same thing, you see, God is very consistent. The same thing God told Joshua after Moses died. Joshua 1, it said, this book of the law, the word, shall not depart out of their mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night. And then you observe to do all that is written. Then God told Joshua, then you make your own way prosperous. You make your own way prosperous, not me. You. And God wants you to prosper. I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in health. So not only health, but material prosperity. You right? We sang the James song. You know, I'm blessed. My wealth is blessed. My health is blessed. My church is blessed. My city is blessed. My family is blessed. God wants you to be blessed and prosperous every area of your life. Hallelujah. Unfortunately, people focus on one-dimension prosperity. They focus only on the car they drive, the amount of money in their bank. They don't care whether their kids know God or not, right? Prosperity is multidimensional, but it begins with God, and God wants you to be prospered. So, conclusion. I know some of you are thinking about your pot roast in the oven. That's okay, it's Father's Day. Go and take a big bite. But before we go, you got to know this. God has a purpose for you. And he just didn't stop with the purpose. The purpose was attached to a plan. God's purpose and plan is to plant you. He has already planted you in a place to unleash your natural and spiritual potential so you can be productive and profitable to him and your community and prosper in your life. Hallelujah. He is a loving father. He is a loving father. But we have to decode his purpose and his plan so that we can unleash our potential and pursue his prescribed productivity so we can become profitable to him. Think about God coming to the future. Oh, I forgot to tell you this. The fig tree actually was referring to the nation of Israel. You can read about this in Micah and Jeremiah. Jeremiah and Micah, prophets, always talk about Israel as the fig tree. And so God came to Israel. Israel was not productive. But then he has sent it to us as well in the church. I think it's Jeremiah 8 and Micah 5, if you're writing. But let me end here. And pray. Before we pray, if you have any questions, 2-3 minutes. Questions, comments. Yes, Miss Audrey. Hold on. I see Deacon Don coming up. Audrey.
Okay. Good morning. So, you know how God said he has a plan and purpose for your life?
Yes.
I was having this conversation with Charles last night about how patient God is and how he does not see us from our beginning to our end, but from our end back to the beginning. And I was trying to explain to him that even though you might not see certain things in your life at this time, it doesn't mean it's not going to happen. Because God already knows it's going to happen. He knows when it's going to happen. And he's a very patient God. And he will wait on you. Because you can't outlive God.
Yeah.
But he knows when it's going to happen. You might not be able to see it. No one else might not be able to see it, but God knows.
Yeah. Then that's why it's imperative that you get close to God, because only God can tell you about you.
Yes.
Right? You don't even know you, but he knows you. So once you get close to him by the Spirit, he can tell you about you. Hallelujah. Any other question before we pray and go and eat our Father's Day dinner? Yes. Zina has a question. Before the Father's Day dinner, remember the Father's Day message. Yes.
I got a word from the Lord this morning about this. He was telling all of us, as an example, in 2015, the $50,000 that you had gave you some benefit. But the closer that you are to him in 2025, half of that amount, $25,000, will do you more good because of the closeness you have with him. So your prosperity is built off of your relationship. And he also said there are very few things that we learn in the world that are true in the kingdom. He said, but one thing that they say in the world is true. It's not what you know, it's who you know. And he said that also works with the kingdom.
Praise God. Yeah. Star, you want to say something? Huh? You want to? You have a question or a comment? Okay. All right. We pray the spirit of confidence to overtake Star. Okay, let's bow our heads and thank God for his word. Father, we thank you that you are here by your spirit, and thank you that you have taught us in your word. Thank you that your word is spirit and it is life. And we pray that the Holy Spirit, who lives inside of us, will continue to give us insight and foresight so we can understand things in hindsight and fashion our lives and behaviors based on that revelation. And so we thank you for this afternoon. Thank you for the word that we have heard. Thank you that it is equipping us. It's enabling us and enriching our lives so we can become more like Jesus and obey his commandments. We thank you, Father God, in the name of your Holy Son, Jesus. Amen and amen.